Just before we dive into today's podcast, this episode is brought to you by Bloomreach Engagement. They're an AI-powered marketing automation platform that personalizes the online shopping experience for your customers. Now, Bloomreach brings the power of AI in three ways: your customers' real-time data, the anonymous website visitors, and the Shopify data, so you know exactly what customers want, when they want it, and where to show it to them. Now, Bloomreach also enables Shopify companies to connect all of this understanding across all channels, so online, offline, including mobile, really to create the most personalized campaigns, engaging conversations with customers, and most importantly, to deliver a shopping experience that's unique to each shopper. Now, Bloomreach marketing automation solution integrates seamlessly with all of your existing tech stack. It aggregates data across the entire customer journey. And as I mentioned, it really empowers you as the founder or as the marketer really to act on all of these insights from a single platform. Now, the company has over 30 AI patents and serves over 850 global brands. So you can learn more, ecommercefastlane.com/Bloomreach, or you can go direct, bloomreach.com, and get started today.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Welcome back to E-Commerce Fastlane. My name is Steve Hutt. I'm your host. You know, thanks so much for tuning in today. You know, with so many podcast choices out there to choose, I'm so proud that you've decided to come here today. You're going to gain a lot of insights. There's a lot of knowledge about learning how to grow and scale your Shopify brand. Don't forget, all our episodes, they're available on all of your favorite podcast apps, including Apple, Spotify, and Google. We're on YouTube now. Also, we're streaming live on Amazon Music. So if you're a Prime member, it's pretty cool. You can actually subscribe to the show and get push notifications on Amazon when new shows are being released, like today. And for a deeper dive, all of our topics, we have some resources and some interesting kind of even listener-only bonus for today. If you listen through to the end, we'll get some of those details. Those will all be at ecommercefastlane.com. Like I said, extended insights, I have links, I've got resources. Trust it, there's lots of good stuff going on over there. Now, my guest today, I'll make an intro in a second, but he is a co-founder of a company called Little Data. Now, Little Data has been on this podcast. This is their third appearance. I've been running for 7 years now. This is their third appearance. I believe their company was founded somewhere around 2017. I guess we'll get some clarity in a minute. But they really are a trusted partner for over 2,000 Shopify brands. And, you know, they're offering a lot of advanced solutions for both tracking customer behavior and then optimizing performance kind of in the marketing channels. And I noticed they've made a pivot to their app, or at least enhanced it over the years since the last time I've had this person on. And, you know, their app really does connect, you know, to Google, Klaviyo, Meta, TikTok, I'm sure Pinterest is down the line. You know, really, it does empower e-commerce teams really with first-party data just to enhance their business strategies. It's really interesting. I know we're always talking about LTV. We're always talking about how to lower down the CAC. And so today, my guest is Ed Upton. He's co-founder, Little Data. Ed's vision, honestly, and his leadership, really, I think, has been very pivotal in our industry and shaping both the company. And so I'm excited to have him come on the show today and share some insights and the journey a little data and kind of where they were and kind of where they are today. So hi, Ed, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on again.
Yes, absolutely. It's amazing. You know, it just, time flies, because I looked and I was like, wow, it's been more than 2 years.
Yeah.
Since I've had Little Data on the show. And I know I only do like maybe 60, 70 episodes a year, but still, platforms evolve faster than 2 years, right? Whoa. There's a lot of stuff going on. So what I want to back up a bit here is, like, I remember the past episodes we talked about the fact that, and I've recommended Little Data all my tenure at Shopify, saying, no, if you're unhappy, Mr. Brand Owner, about the fact that Google Analytics and Shopify don't sync correctly, there's always a 20 or 30% disparity between what Shopify is showing and what Google Analytics is showing, and attaching little data in the middle as a server-side piece of, you know, technology that marries the two together and normalizes the data. So then it actually makes GA the source of truth, which is what you want, because you don't want to be in Shopify only, because you could change platforms and you want to have a source of truth for all of your data. And that's the reasons why I was recommending Little Data over the years, but I know it's changed or added on since then. So can we talk a little bit about maybe some of the existing problems that you're solving with the server side tracking of the data, and then kind of where the platform is starting to migrate to now?
Yeah, you're right. So we've probably been going about the same time as the podcast. Back in the beginning of 2018, we launched the first Shopify app. What the problem we're solving then is still true now, which is that brands need super accurate data to target their marketing, to get to constantly optimize return on ad spends. And that's just not possible through the kind of native integrations that the Shopify has built. Honestly, part, you know, but obviously, you know, for smaller brands who wanted to build those sort of sales channels, Facebook sales channel, Google and YouTube sales channel, to be free and easy to use, they'd certainly that. But what they haven't done is, you know, tried to build on the accuracy for particularly around tracking the purchase and revenue. And obviously, the larger you scale as a brand, the more problem that is. As you say, if you're missing 20% of your revenue from Google Analytics, it becomes quite hard to trust any kind of major decisions you're making on there. So I think we're still solving that problem, and we're solving, you know, one of the things that happened in those 2 years was Google Analytics switched to Google Analytics 4. Hmm. Again, you know, there was a sort of hiatus where there was no Shopify sort of GA4 solution, and everyone was scrambling around. Then Shopify launched it. Everyone was like, oh, well, we won't need little data anymore then, right? It's problem solved. But no, problem not solved. Exactly the same problem as before. And one of the reasons that it's not solved is that it's not sales channel is fundamentally buggy. It's just that it's becoming harder and harder to track and identify users that happen on the browser and actually link them with what they purchased, and various reasons why that is: rise of people browsing with ad blockers, people opting out of being tracked in Europe with GDPR regulations. But actually, one of the biggest is sort of Apple's ongoing war on tracking, effectively.
Yeah, the open rates, like in email and stuff like that.
Exactly. And then, you know, people have iOS 17 sort of limited more. Basically, every rollout of iOS, there's more limits of variations of what Apple calls its intelligent tracking prevention, ITP. Yeah. So it's really hit Meta advertising. And the solution around it, which actually Meta was actually faster on than Google, is what they call their conversions API, which is sharing the first-party data directly with Meta or Google servers so that they know that, you know, we can attribute the purchase to a campaign not based on cookies, but based on the actual user accounts.
Mm. So what's your feedback or knowledge about just this cookie apocalypse that's happening in Chrome then? Like, how is that going to affect marketers? And then how does Little Data fit into that mix?
Yeah, so I have a little bit of controversial opinion. I read a post last year about sort of, you know, the truth about cookies, because what a lot of vendors have conflated, because it fits their narrative, is that the demise of third-party cookies, which is what's happening this year in Google Chrome,
right,
which in fact doesn't really affect a brand tracking their own website, because it's third-party cookies are not, you know, not used for web tracking. They've actually been deprecated by other browsers for years. So what's actually being affected there is first-party cookies, the kind that are actually limited to your site and not used by ad networks. And that, you know, lots of things rely on first-party cookies, including Google Analytics, Meta, TikTok, Pinterest, Klaviyo. And so that's separately, not the same thing as the Google Chrome deprecation, but separately there is a sort of ongoing, I don't call it a cookie apocalypse. I don't think it's like happening now. It's actually been happening for years.
Yeah.
It is carrying on getting worse. So probably that revenue discrepancy, if you're relying on what we call client-side tracking, which is the sort of opposite of server-side tracking, basically a ping from the thank you page that tracks whether someone's purchased from you or not. You know, maybe 2 years ago, that would have been 5-10% off. As you say, now it's more like 20-30% off. And so that's the inflection point is when, you know, a significant minority, a large minority of your traffic is untracked, it becomes very difficult to trust the reporting that's driven.
I'm going to pivot a bit in a second because I want to talk about some of the connections to Little Data. And I also want to talk about subscriptions and stuff because I think it's another interesting market. Before I jump into all of that, I want to talk a little bit about the unknown site visitor. And the reason why I want to talk about that, because it seems that most tools that are out there, typically, you know, with a 2% conversion rate and maybe a 5% opt-in rate for some kind of offer, there's still, you know, in the best case, 90% of your website traffic is poof out the window. Now, yes, you can retarget that. So Meta and Google and, you know, and TikTok, they know who they are. They're not telling you because for privacy reasons, but they'll take your money to remarket them. So I get that part. But then I also see some tools out in the marketplace that's kind of, I guess, revealing the hash of this unknown site visitor and then revealing these email addresses and saying, hey, and then people are now sending thanks for visiting sequence instead of thanks for signing up, like legal opt-ins, GDPR. Yeah. But I think in America, they're allowing people to send emails of thanks for visiting. I just want your feedback on that because I think it's an important thing that I think for some people in America, it's printing money for them.
It's true. And I think the message I would have and the reason we're so excited about launching our integration with Klaviyo this week, more on that in a moment, is that what little latest technology can do is to, you know, enable you to target more of those anonymous visitors without but the people that are already opted into your email list. So what we're not doing, but some of these other vendors are, we're not adding emails to your list that have never opted in.
Okay.
Because while, as you say, that's okay in North America, it's absolutely not okay in Europe. And you can get fined heavily for doing that. So if you go and read what one of the vendors are, I won't name names, but they, you know, they have a hilarious tagline on their page for this product, which says fully complies with all US federal laws, by which they mean totally not compliant with any laws outside of the US.
Correct. Yeah.
So it's getting me the word marketing. And I think that my message is that you have to be very careful as a brand. I think those kind of regulations are changing in the US as well. You know, you've got Colorado, Vermont and stuff following California with the CCPA type regulations. But I think what's already true is there are jurisdictions, particularly in Europe, but also places like Brazil, where you can be fined quite heavily for doing that. So I think what we have to distinguish is between, as you say, third-party email list, people who've never opted into your list but did give them to some other brand. That's not good. It's brand damaging and certainly risking your spam scores.
For sure.
What Little Days is doing, which is first-party data, just linking together the profiles, the email list you already have with what they're doing on the storefront. That's the powerful thing. So to go back to your numbers, the bit that we're focused on is not the 95% of people who've never given you an email. It's actually the 3% of people who have at some point given the email but didn't actually purchase.
Right.
And that's the rich pickings. That's where we can do a way better job. Because if they have at some point in that browse opted in, either, as you say, maybe a quiz, maybe an email pop-up, maybe they went through the checkout previously or started the checkout previously, maybe they clicked on an email on that browser. In any of those scenarios, we can tie that journey, that kind of viewing products, adding to cart, starting the checkout, back to profile. And so via email or SMS that the customer's already opted in for on your list, you can retarget them. And that's obviously an incredibly effective strategy because these people are already buy ready. They were on your site looking to buy a product. They just either they got distracted by a competitor or one of your competitors, or they just got distracted generally. And so the revenue per customer, I mean, Klaviyo has their own benchmarks for this, that the average revenue per email sent on Klaviyo, according to their benchmark, latest benchmarks, is 1 cent. the average revenue for an abandoned cart email is nearly $4.
Oh, wow.
If you're worried about the amount of emails you're spending on Klaviyo and the bill you have, my message to you would be do more of these smarter campaigns, things like abandoned browse and abandoned cart, because they're way higher return on investment.
You know, another topic that came up recently too was just about expiring cookies in general. Like, you know, so someone comes to the website and however you're tracking that site visitor, known site visitor, and then, they leave, that cookie expires, and then they come back again 10 days later. And there's been investment already made in that potential acquisition, but it looks to a lot of people like it's a brand new customer again. Like, so what do you say about that and how is Little Data solving that?
Yeah, so that's exactly a very real problem. And going back to, you know, the classic scenario is on an Apple, you know, iOS browser or Safari on the Mac, which is obviously actually a large chunk of internet traffic now, where Apple will just wipe the cookie after 7 days, whether you want to or not. There's no way of opting out of that.
Yeah.
You can't say, Apple, I'm happy to be tracked. So from a brand's perspective, as you say, maybe you had a Google ad, bought it there, but the next week they come back in the same browser, they and they carry on the purchase journey. You don't know that Google Ads was part of that. Well, that's exactly one of the points that Alt8 is helping by basically persisting the cookie identifier server side. We have effectively an identity graph where we can say, aha, you know, you actually are the same person that added this to cart last week and come back again. Right. And therefore we can not only, I mean, this is the two use cases, the sort of, we can help brand target that person either on our own channels like email and SMS, but also via Google and Meta and TikTok ads. But we can also help you attribute in terms of reporting that campaign as part of the purchase, because that's the crux of modern marketing reporting is, you know, you need to talk about multi-channel attribution. You know, it's not just one click that brings them to buy. You know, you need to try and understand, and it's hard to link multiple clicks to a purchase, but where possible, we try to effectively extend that window of attribution.
Okay, good. All right, because that solves a lot of problems that I get DM'd a lot about that sort of question. Yeah. It's nice that Little Data has that solution. Okay, so I get the GA connection to GA4 now, and I know there's been lots of stuff going on. So I understand that server-side kind of connection. And then I understand and we mentioned a little bit about the fact there's Meta and TikTok.
And already TikTok and Pinterest, yeah. So that they were launched last summer. So that kind of, we offer effectively a paid social bundle, so you can get those three destinations at one price.
Oh, that's lovely. Okay, so then walk us through what's happening now with Klaviyo, because I was part of the recent kind of product launch with Klaviyo's AI product, and now you're a connection with Klaviyo. So just walk us through what that looks like, because I think everybody and their brother is using Klaviyo pretty much. So
exactly, and I think some of our customers are using Klaviyo, so it's obvious sort of way to extend. And it fits, you know, I guess our product vision is making it ridiculously easy to, you know, to send data to these marketing destinations, and Klaviyo is one of those key ones of brand. Right. So what's the challenge? As I said, we're focused really on that pre-checkout journey. The flows you can set up in Klaviyo to target people who already purchased, you know, that already works quite well. What actually doesn't work well is when you're trying to target people who, as I said, have opted into your email list, but haven't actually purchased something yet, or haven't purchased something, you know, recently. And there's two main campaigns that you'd want to run that are part of the sort of standard Klaviyo templates. You'd want to have an abandoned browse flow, people who kind of looked at a product or looked at a product category but didn't continue, an abandoned cart flow. And actually, you'd probably separately want to have abandoned checkout flow, although it's a bit blurred because most people on Klaviyo who think they're running abandoned cart campaigns are actually targeting the abandoned checkout event. So anyway, the point is a lot of brands are leaving aside all of the sort of copy and messaging and, you know, subject line time improving. These are all basics of email marketing. But you're still, even if you've optimized the hell out of that, you're leaving a lot of money on the table by just not being able to reach maybe 50% of the customers that did, in fact, abandon cart, but you can't link back to a Klaviyo profile. Well, with Little Data, we said we can boost that audience size by 50%. These are not people who, you're cannibalizing other campaigns. These people you would not have been emailed and who would not have purchased otherwise. And so we've just been testing this in private for a month, and we've seen some absolutely insane results where, you know, brands are literally getting double, triple the revenue from the same tactics just by using this sort of more robust, smarter trigger.
I'm going to get into a case study for sure from you in a moment. And I just made me think about a lot of people listening to, maybe there's a challenge on, they feel that based on their traffic, they feel like they appreciate that they always want to improve their conversion rate of total traffic. I get that part, but they also at least want the opportunity with a proper opt-in and an offer that is enticing enough to want to get an email, an SMS, an Instagram handle. I've had a really great episode recently, and actually he's been on twice, but Brett Bernstein over at Gatsby, at Gatsby.ai. So another interesting tool that can connect and man-o-man, it really helps understand once these are known customers, how you can actually work with them. And they have some great technology of email, SMS, and getting Instagram handle all from one tool.
Yeah. Yep. No, I actually chatted him last week. It's quite complimentary to what we're doing.
Absolutely.
I think the key thing is, there's so much sort of, I guess what I think of as downstream what we're doing. There's so many people trying to optimize, you know, as I said, creatives, campaign tactics, you know, timing sequences, etc. That's all well and good. I think the brilliant thing about what Little Data can bring in the picture is we can take all of those and just boost it by another 50%, which, you know, given that our app takes a few minutes to install, the zero kind of manual setup, no code, that's, I would say, a pretty slam dunk opportunity for a lot of brands.
It's amazing. I did look at the website too, kind of before recording, and you have a lot of case studies. Is there any one come to mind that we want to share some of the details of?
Yeah, maybe there's a couple brands on there that probably highlight. I mean, one is Grind Coffee, which fits quite nicely into the subscription piece you wanted to talk about. So quick backstory on Grind is they ran a chain of coffee shops, successful coffee shops in London, and the kind of pandemic hit, and you know, coffee shops were banned or allowed to open. But they quite had pivoted and implemented subscription coffee model to get the same quality ground beans at home. Obviously, coffee's a classically good subscription product. People buy it regularly. It's easy to post, all of that stuff. What they needed to do was really understand this lifetime value of the customer. One of the unique bits about how the latest server-side tracking works is that we can actually link back not just the first purchase when they actually go through the Shopify checkout to the pre-checkout journey and the campaigns. We can also link back all of the recurring orders to the same user, the same profile, so that you can build up a picture of which campaigns and channels bring high lifetime value subscribers. That's if you're investing in growth as a subscription brand, I would say that's the sort of number one thing you need to understand. And is actually still super difficult to do with most other reporting tools. Yes, you can see total value of your orders, maybe even in Recharge's analytics or various other reporting tools that plug into Recharge or Shopify. But the unique bit that we're bringing is allowing you to attribute those recurring orders back to marketing channels and campaigns.
I see. And so then you're able to deal with the flavor fatigue and people wanting to churn and stuff, because you truly understand like every single transaction that's assigned to that particular user.
Yeah. And our Recharge integration actually goes even deeper. So you can understand actual of the what we call subscription lifecycle events. So, whether people payment failure, pause their subscription, skip subscription, those kind of things. And, whether they are impacted by the other marketing touch points that the customer has.
So how does a little data fit into logistics? Because I think that's another interesting play where, is there any kind of like direct to warehouse type of operation available? I just want to try, because I know you've expanded your product so much. Yeah. So I'd love to hear.
Yeah, not so much in that direction. I think the one area where it's relevant is, we've tracked from the beginning, is refunds. So one of the areas of inaccuracy for brands who are just seeing the kind of revenues off in Google Analytics or in Facebook ads is that they're not actually taking into account any order cancellations or refunds. So we track that again out of the box so that you can again go in and look at actually net revenue. Now, I guess, that's, some brands might want to do that. You might want to filter that out. But I think actually it just helps create a more accurate picture. Obviously, one of the pitfalls of online marketing is, if you have a product categories like fashion and stuff with high return rates, you might be spending money on a particular channel thinking it's all very profitable. But actually, if you net out returns, it's not actually such a good channel at all. And then the other angle, just on the kind of, making the rate data accurate, is post-purchase upsells. So, obviously there's increasing usage of some kind of post-purchase flow where effectively they have completed the order. So that the challenge of tracking that is that technically it's actually gone through, the order's being marked as paid.
Right.
But you still want to, if they accept the post-purchase upsell after a few minutes more, you want to track that increment as well. That's also something we can do.
I have a lot of brands that use Rebuy Engine. I think they're a plus, a plus certified kind of app partner. And they do on page, but then, and upsells and cross sells kind of like within cart, but then also the post-purchase experience is also part of their offerings. And so you're suggesting that if you had Rebuy Engine connected, that everything's going to be attributed correctly along the full journey.
Correct. And those sort of upsell orders are tagged in the analytics, so you can kind of look at specifically, what kind of campaigns were driving upsells.
All right. So I know we had a little chit chat kind of in the green room before recording. And so if those that are listening today saying, hey, I'm unhappy, number one, about maybe between, this is the original use case was, hey, I'm unhappy about why Shopify is showing this and GA4 showing that and why they're different.
What?
You will normalize that so that GA4 is now your source of truth. But now also getting involved with Meta and Klaviyo and TikTok and Pinterest and other networks down, these other kind of marketing channels down the line for one-on-one kind of personalization. And as you said, let Klaviyo do its magic, but you're supporting or supplying the data to these networks to do what they need to do well. Yeah. What sort of offer or next steps?
Yeah. So perhaps one more point is, I think we're commonly mistaken as an alternative for sort of reporting tools like Triple Whale and North Beam and stuff that got very popular. And they do a great job of providing a kind of e-commerce dashboard. We're not trying to do that.
Right.
little data strategies to actually help you get accurate data in the end, you know, the marketing tools are using.
Right.
A lot of people say, hey, I don't really need Google Analytics, like I'm going to use Triple Whale. And my pushback of that is always like, yeah, but you need Google Analytics, even if it's not for reporting, you need it because you need to build the audiences in Google Ads. So if Google Ads is a main channel for you, if you're spending money there, you'd be crazy not to be feeding accurate data into it. And Google Analytics is the way that you feed accurate data into Google Ads.
Yeah, exactly.
So next steps, yes, very easy. The app's on Shopify. It's obviously highly rated, easy to install.
Right.
And you offer a standard 30-day free trial for any listeners of the podcast and going to the landing page. We will be offering an extended free trial, an extra bonus, a 60-day free trial, because we're so confident you're going to get value out of this.
Yeah.
We just want you to be able to, you know, really see that for yourself over a couple of months.
I appreciate that.
And, you know, in terms of setup, you know, you give us permissions to hook into the transactions happening on Shopify, but then you're also just choosing to log in with the marketing tools and we can do the rest. So there's a completely no code setup. There's a route for headless stores also to install if that's your thing on Hydrogen or other frameworks. But for most stores, it's a completely self-serve experience and you can get set up in 10 minutes or so.
That's why I've been recommending you for years. So I know how easy it was. And it's very affordable too. I mean, I think it starts at $99 a month, I think, you know, for under like 1500 orders a month. And it just kind of scales from there. But, you know, the RO, it's dirt cheap for what it does, but it's extremely powerful. And just, you feel confident your data is being, number one, being piped back from Shopify back to GA, but now more importantly, back to these ad networks. So I think it's pretty exciting. Yeah. Thank you for the 60-day trial. I think it gives our listeners a lot of opportunity to say, listen, for zero cost to you, like you don't know what you don't know until you actually connect it and try it. You're already spending money on these ad networks. You probably already have Klaviyo. There's no reasons why you at least can't give it a try for 60 days and just see what happens.
Yeah, that's exactly the nux of it. I think one of the biggest challenges we've had to convincing brands is that they just don't know they have a problem. They kind of they've accepted this revenue gap for so long. It's kind of like, oh, isn't that just the way it is?
Yeah.
And my answer is no. You know, it doesn't have to be. Suddenly, you can not only have clarity, but you can also have actually better marketing performance. You know, you can boost what you're already doing, as you say, with a very minimal outlay on our tool.
Yeah, this is lovely. Well, this has been a lovely episode number 3 from you. I'm sure we should probably annually now, like update our calendars to recording. I'm sure you're going to keep iterating the platform. Thanks for being, you know, a plus certified partner, very clearly in the mid-market to enterprise, but you can help the small guys too.
Yeah, as I say, we're accessible, it's self-serve. And then for larger customers, you know, if you book a demo with us, we can do kind of account management and help you do some of the onboarding.
Beautiful. This is lovely. So ecommercefastlane.com/little data. That's a redirect to the landing page, 60-day free offer. And Little Data's, you're going to be your friend, I think, for data and for the ad network. So this is awesome. Thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. Take care. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.